Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to remember our brothers across the world this morning and give us the vigilance, Lord, to continue to remember our brothers and sisters all across the world, Lord. And then, Lord, send us into our own harvest field with new strength and vigilance, Lord. And we pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen. It is an impossible task for me to preach this morning. I must say, I've never preached in a week where a war broke out. And many of us here has never attended church in a week where a war broke out. But there's been some wars behind curtains. But one as visible as this, it brings a lot of honesty to one's heart if you come to church, if you come to the Lord in a context like we find ourselves in, because it forces us to ask the right questions and the hard questions. Isn't that true? And it's just interesting for me, Andres, that we had this theme of getting ready, you know, brewing in our hearts, and especially in your heart since December. So I just want to say, I'm just excited that the Word of God can minister to us, because I know as a man I'm ill-equipped to bring to a congregation what is needed at a time like this. And in that I find strength, amen, that the Lord can minister to us. He is faithful. And so, Father, as the Word is being shared this morning, very briefly, we look to the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and to illuminate these fleshly hearts and awaken us to the things of the Spirit. I pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen. We are talking about getting ready. And last week I read two parables, the parable of the faithful and the wicked servant, and then the parable of the virgins. And I spend a lot of time on the parable of the virgins. Before that, Pastor Andres kicked off this theme of getting ready. So I just want to encourage you, if you missed the last 2 weeks, see them as a little bit of a package on which I continue today. I am going to be brief. We've got another service coming in, and I knew Pastor Philemon was going to have some precious time with us. So let me get to the point and trust that the Lord will work quickly in our hearts. Who then is the faithful and the wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at their proper time? Now, what I want us to remember just for a moment is these parables that Jesus are sharing in this passage, Matthew 24, 25, comes on the back of a question where the disciples ask him, tell us when these things will be, these wars, and especially what will be the sign of your coming. Okay, that was the question. And in a response to this question, Jesus answers with a few pictures, parables that he puts in words. He's trying to answer them by not giving them a one-liner, but taking them on a journey of parables, which we are discovering at the moment together. Who then is this faithful and wise servant? This is Jesus answering. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing. Doing what? Looking over the household, serving over the household in the household and giving them their food at their proper time, all right? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that wicked servant says to himself, my master is delayed, and begins to beat his fellow servants and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and in an hour when he does not know. And he will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is supposed to bring imagery to your heart. Okay, parables is the language of the heart. It causes you to feel something, and it conveys mostly one truth about the kingdom to the hearers. And that's why Jesus uses many parables. And mostly each parable has a dominant wind that's blowing, an idea. And it's supposed to let us go, because, I mean, just look at verse 51. He will cut him in pieces and then put him with the hypocrites. I mean, have you imagined that? So, okay, your leg goes here. Your head goes. I mean, this is supposed to let your stomach turn. It is what parables does. It brings over a truth. Now, Jesus gives mostly in this passage two answers to this question. When will these things be? What will be the signs of your coming? Mostly, and I'm being very broad. The first thing he says in almost all the parables is it will feel like I am delaying, or that I am delayed. It is something we see coming consistently through the parables. And the other truth that it states is that here's what is, sorry, just for a moment, my mind was moving across the world. And the other truth that he's trying to state is that if your heart is engaged with him, it doesn't really matter when he comes, but how he finds you when he comes. And that's what we're going to explore a little bit. Now, if we remember the parable of the virgins, we'll remember that they had a mandate. They had a job to do. What was their job? Make light for the wedding procession. Okay, when the groom comes, make light for the procession. That was their job. It was their mandate in that story. Okay, now the wise virgins, they remembered their mandate. They were focused on their mandate, and they made provision that they could finish their mandate until the end. The foolish virgins, they also had lamps, and well, they know how this works. They're not new to the lamp technology. They had lamps, but they were not vigilant in their calling, and therefore, when the master was delayed, their lack of vigilance meant that at the end, they could not complete their task, their mandate. Right. Now, we go to the parable of the faithful and the wicked servant, and a mandate is given again. In this parable, feed my people at their proper time. And I'm going to treat it very, very simply this morning. But there's one thing very important that we need to understand about the dynamics when someone is delayed. Okay? When someone is delayed, your boss, when you're young, your parents, in this case, the master, if the person in charge of you or in charge of your mandate, when they are delayed, who you really are, your heart towards that person who is delayed really comes to the surface in their absence because you are unsupervised. You are unsupervised. Everyone knows this. Jesus knows his parables make sense. Everyone knows you want to employ someone at your company, a worker in your home, that works with integrity whether you are there or not. Now, the dynamics of being delayed is that the true self arises to the surface. And that's what happens in these parables. Are you with me this morning? Now, what I want us to do is I want to take this idea of caring for God's people, giving them their food at their time, basically serving in them. I want to show you the consistency in Scripture with this idea, because it is not a new idea that Jesus is dropping on his people. I just want to read for us in Mark chapter 12. And people ask Jesus, what are the most important things? Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor. You shall love your neighbor. So again, what we see here is scriptural congruency. This is not a new thing when Jesus said, hey, take care of the people. And the wise servant, he cares for them. He gives them food. It's not a new introduction. It's not a new chapter. He is building on what he has said already. He's just illustrating it in a new and a fresh way. If we go to John 13, we see Jesus doing that parable in a sense. He is serving the people when he washes their feet. And then he says, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also have to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Truly a servant is not greater than his master. The wise servant that stands in service of Jesus, the great servants follow the example of Jesus in the time when he's delayed. Can you see that? It's a pattern. It's very simple. It's amazing where once the life, the theology of the cross of Jesus, when the life and the words of and works of Jesus is held before you, you see John 13 through the life of Jesus. You remember him on the cross. You remember him at the feet of his disciples. You remember his words, and it becomes the focus of the life of the faithful servant. He does not ask, Lord, I want to time your comeback. Just tell me, I want to make sure that when you come, that I'll just leave the stuff that I should not be busy with, and I want to time it so that when you come. No, no, no. The one whose heart is set on him, it's like David writes in Psalm 16. He says, I've kept the Lord always before me, and he lives with his eyes on the servant king and follow his example. He is ready in and out of season. Can you see that? Jesus is working the crowd of the disciples towards an intimate relationship with him that does not require the timing of his return. Amen? You see, the faithful servant is like a garden that grows in the face of the Lord. He's not perfect. There's only one faithful, the faithful servant. There's only one. There's many faithful servants, many others. They're like a garden. Certain times they grow in love and other times more with kindness, sometimes with patience. Then they make a mistake, they get pruned, but they are ever growing before the face of the Lord. And it doesn't matter when he comes back, this garden is in the process of life. Jesus, when are you coming back that we can time it? No, 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 no. Be plugged into me. You will always be ready. That's what he's saying. If we go to 1 Peter 2, look at how he is serving us. He bore our sins. Now get the imagery in your heart. He's carrying our sins on his body. What is he doing? He's being the servant of the world that has done for the world, for everyone here, all over the world, what no man can do for you. He is serving us. Even in his moments on the cross, our great servant. How do I become also a faithful servant? That's a question I want to answer. How do I get ready? How do I also become a faithful servant? In the face of everything that's happening here, the answer stays the same. Our context may change, but the word remains. The question you and I should ask this morning, how am I counted as a faithful servant this morning? How can I get ready? If we look at the Word of God, we can see the following three things that might help us this morning. The first thing is, I see Jesus serving me on my cross. It's the first thing I see. When the world was in crisis of sin, listen up, the Father looked down and he saw a man serving the rest of mankind. It should not surprise us that we see this word serving all over the New Testament. Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ, or Paul, the slave of Jesus, because we have the great servant of the world as our example. When the world was in crisis, the heavens looked down and there he was, faithful till the end, taking our sins on him. He was serving us. It should humble us. That's the start. We see him. We recognize it, and the Holy Spirit opens our heart to this. What happens then is I become born again as I surrender, and I did not make a spelling mistake there. Surrender my love to Him. Because sometimes I want to academically belong to the Lord, but I want to have all other loves. When I'm truly born again, my heart moves with. I remember Him, I see Him, and I fall in love with Him. The servant of the world, the savior of the world. And it blows me away. And then lastly, I follow His example in serving and loving others until He returns or until my last day. That's how I become a faithful servant. I continue. I get ready and then I continue. And I make it out in my heart. I arm myself. Be prepared, like Brother Philemon shared with us. I count the cost and I say to myself, I will remain with my eyes on Him. And I will serve the world where I'm in until my last day. That is the answer to the question, when will you come back? Stay faithful. Get ready. And let's do this together. And very important, I said it last week, if you want to be ready, please don't make a mistake. It's a theological heresy to say I can work my way from 3 to 2. Okay. I cannot serve my way into the love of God. That would be me earning His love. All right? And I could say, yes, I've done well. I'm so glad I worked my salvation, like a 90% of it, and then God just added that last 10. You should be like me. No. We must start by surrendering our hearts and our love to Him and be born again. Amen? That's it. We must be born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, and you will be a new creature, a new creation. And this newness will help you. It's the Spirit that enters your life. It will help you to follow His example in serving and loving others until the end. Amen? What I want us to do this morning, like we did last week, is to give an opportunity, because it's a time for believers to march. It is a time to take action. It is in sync with a season. It's a time for people to stand up. And my invitation this morning will be, if we can pray for you, if we can pray you closer in love with Him, if we can lead you in to giving your life to Him, then we are here to stand with you this morning and to remain with you until the end. Amen. Let's stand up in this place this morning and let's respond to the Lord. Many things have been said. We've heard incredible testimonies. Let's respond this morning as is fitting, as the Holy Spirit leads us. Where you are standing this morning, I want to ask you a personal question. I want to ask you, what is the Lord whispering on your heart this morning? What is He saying to you? What is He saying to you? As a congregation, we own no one. We only serve alongside the Lord with what He's doing in the lives of people. And we have opportunity to do this together and love Him together and serve Him together. What is He saying to you? We would love to help you and stand with you and pray for you, so that no one here will have to face the challenges of life alone. That's why we have one another. So that we can get that food to you. Who is that faithful servant who the Lord puts over the household to give food to His people at His proper time? Let us do that for one another, in prayer and also in practical ways. Let's pray together. Father, as we stand here, we stand before a great King. And we are humbled this morning to be a part of Your kingdom, to be able to take part, not be alone. What a privilege when the Lord calls one name. What a privilege, Lord, to see so many people coming to you the last while and committing to you and being baptized. What a privilege to see the work of the Lord in our midst. And Lord, we commit that we will keep on until the end. Individually, Lord, I pray for people as you are ministering to people right now and maybe drawing people to yourself, calling their names, reminding them of times when they were younger, when you were already pulling on their hearts, revealing yourself to them, showing people here that they actually were never alone, but that it's time to renew their vows, Lord, to you, to give their love back to you, their full hearts, Lord. If you're here this morning and you'd love someone to pray with you, just to pray with you, just to serve you and to love you, we would love to do that this morning. I want to stand here at the bottom, and if you'd like someone to pray with you, I want you to be very bold this morning and come to the front. The rest of us, we're going to take a seat and also pray for some things in the world. But if we can pray for you this morning, if we can help you to connect with the Lord again, to get plugged in with Him again, to return to Him, then I want to count to three, and I want you to take a step of faith and quickly come here and meet me in front, and we'd love to pray with you. You're going to have to be bold. If that is you, I'd like you to move in 1, 2, and 3. I'd love to pray with you. Just come to the front. Thank you for those people that's responding. If we could just kind of remain standing for another minute or so, if you are standing. Yes, thank you. Thank you for coming. I want to ask some small group facilitators, some leaders in church to come and help in front. We want to pray with everyone that comes. We want to help you. We don't want you to feel or be alone in this moment. Is there anyone else? People are moving all across this place. You can just come to the front and we will help you. If you are standing in your seat, please pray with us. No spectators here today. No spectators. Can we get some more males to pray here? I think I saw Franz here. Thank you. Oh, Johannes here. Awesome. If you still want to come to the front, we are waiting for you. You're welcome to come. Even if you want to come in a minute or so, there's still some people moving. We will help you. No, y'all, let's give them a clap. Let's give these people a clap. We will pray with you no matter what your prayer request is, all right? For the rest of us, I want you to take a seat, turn to someone, and ask them, what can I pray for you for this morning? We've prayed for the world. We've prayed for the war. Ask that someone, can I pray for you this morning? Offer the opportunity to pray with that person. There's no one that spectates here today. Everyone is just engaging in receiving from God in one way or another. If you are alone and you see someone sitting alone, you are welcome to join them and ask them whether you can pray for them.